bow your prayers this morning. Looking to the Lord yet one more time.
Yeah.
Still dependent on Him. That hasn't changed. Still can't do anything without Him. Not going to start to try now. So appreciate God's faithfulness. Thank the Lord for the encouragement that we've already received through songs and prayer. Just thinking about how it relates already to continuation of the thoughts that God has given. Thinking about that home, sweet home. Amen. What a wonderful home. But we have to get there by the help and grace of God. And in order to get to that home, we got to live on this earth. But we're thankful while we're here on this earth. There was something that was mentioned in the prayer. I believe it was referencing the scripture and songs that talking about God supplying our needs, something along those lines. So by the help of the Lord, we are going to continue the series that we started some time ago on promises. One of the promises, God has blessed us with so many precious promises. And as we talked about going to that home, He hasn't left us here alone. He's given us the promises along the way. And just to remind us, in case we need a refresher, what that word promise means. A promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of the specified act. And I want to go back to one of the root scriptures that we've given throughout this series. That's as it relates to Abraham and an encouragement for us. That's found in the 4th chapter of Romans and the 20th verse.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
This being again Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
But was strong in faith. Giving glory to God.
So this is an encouragement again for each and every one of us. As we read through this Bible, and we find all these promises that God has given us.
Yeah.
And I recognize that, you know, as we've endeavored by the help and grace of God to present these thoughts on promises, we've talked about the promise of judgment that God has for His creation. We've talked about promise of His word and what His word promises to us. His promise to cleanse us, to save us, to keep us, to provide strength and help, to guide and protect. We're going to consider two more this morning. To guide and direct. And then the two this morning is to supply and protect. And I believe that there will probably be one more series or one more message in the series, because I just felt like there was too much. And it's all under the umbrella of supplying and protecting. But we're going to do, by the help of the Lord, we're going to talk about those this morning. I want us to understand that, as I said, I've endeavored to bring these thoughts forth. This is just a small, small portion of what God has in His Word. If I was to try to bring forth all the scriptures as it relates to all the specific topics that we've been talking about, it would be for some long messages. So we're just getting a little bit of it. It's the expression, you've heard of the expression, the tip of the iceberg. That's all we get. That's what we've been getting here. And I was reading something about icebergs. Did you know that 90% is submerged? So we're just getting a little taste of it. So I encourage each one, as some of the things that we've talked about, dig into the Word of God to find out that these promises that God has given us, they're so many, they're so vast, we can't cover all of them. So he promised to supply our every need. So we're going to talk about that this morning. You might know we're going to go to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 19th verse. It's a very familiar text of scripture, and no doubt you could quote it by heart. It says here in Philippians 4 and 19.
But my God shall supply all your need.
But my God shall supply all of your need.
According
to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, even as we read this scripture, look how it starts. There's a personal connection here that each and every one of us can have. It's personal and it's individual. Because it says, my God. And it's something that each and every one of us can say. He's a one God. He's a big God. But he's one that each and every one of us can say, he's my God. I have a God that can supply all of my needs. And he's mine. And we all can say that. So it's an individual thing for each and every one of us. So I ask you this morning, how's your God been to you?
Amen.
You know, sometimes, most of the time, it relates to how we've been to our God. See? We talk about that all the time. There's always something that God requires of us. But it says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, this implies full supply, fully supplying.
Yes.
And what that means is fill to the full, overflowing. So in other words, not just barely having what we need, but fill to the overflowing.
Yes.
Now we're going to make something by the help of the Lord. Is there a difference now between a need and a want?
Yes.
Those things are a little bit different, aren't they? When you think about, you know, sometimes we get those two words confused. And we'll mix them up sometimes. And we might say, well, I need such and such. But really, that need is just a want. Think about just in a natural sense. You ever been around children that had parents that gave them everything that they wanted? I'm sure each of us have probably been around people like that. They're real good, nice, kind, loving. I would venture that most of the time, if you've been around a person like that, you would probably say that they are spoiled, wouldn't you? Now, what if God did that for us? Just gave us everything that we want. And you know, sometimes I'm sure you could find somewhere to worship this morning where they would tell you that too. God will give you everything you want. That's not what the word says. It says need. And the other thing that we have to think about when we read this scripture, what is God ultimately most concerned about us? Our soul, right? He's concerned about our soul first and foremost. And all these things naturally, they're secondary. So when he talks about the things that I need, is what I need, is it going to be a debt or something maybe that I want? It's not a need, see? Because God is concerned, is it going to hinder my soul? I can say, Lord, I need this. But God is looking at it. He has a different perspective, see? He says, I know what you need. And the need that I'm going to supply for you, I'm thinking about your eternal soul, see? And I want it to not to have a detriment. I want it to be something that can draw you closer to me and not pull you further away. So I'm going to give you what you need, see? But there might be things that we desire. See, that's another word kind of falls in between, doesn't it? A need and a want, a desire, that's kind of maybe in the middle. That's not to say that God's not going to supply the desires that we have. But, you know, again, it has to do with, oh, what is it going to do for my soul? Yeah. Is it going to help me? Is it going to hinder me? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, again, we think about in a natural sense as parents. Don't we sometimes make our children wait for things? Yeah. Who's done to us, right? With all of us that were children once. Maybe there was something that we desired that our parents had us wait on a little while. Sometimes that waiting gives us a little bit more appreciation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you think when we consider all of the intelligence that we have, God is smarter than us, isn't he? So he knows, yes, you might desire this, but I want you to wait a little. He's going to supply all of our needs. You know, God knows what's best for me better than I do. And that goes for all of us.
That's right.
You know, I could look at this and say, oh, I need this. No, God can say, no, you don't need that. What you need is this.
Right.
And you know what, God, if we allow him, he'll bless and work in that kind of way. But you know, ultimately, when we think about this, if there's something that we want so bad, that we're going to say, all right, there is nothing on this earth that's going to stop me from getting it. You know what? If you want it that bad, God is not going to stop you. Because we all have a will, don't we?
Yeah.
You know what? And if we want it that bad, he might just say, all right, you want it, go on, have it. But it's not something that you need. He said he's going to supply your need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And when we think about that, all things that we have is given us by God. So what is when you think about how that works together, Lord, help us to do everything for him, keeping that in mind, right? You know, even our bodies that we have, life and breath that we have, it's all supplied by God. Lord, help me to use it to your honor and to your glory.
Amen.
You know, and when I do that, then that's when God supplies everything that I need.
Amen.
Psalm 84 and 11.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
He is a sun and he's a shield.
The Lord will give grace and glory.
The Lord will give grace and glory.
No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This works with the other scripture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He said he's a sun and he's a shield, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, again, this brings in my responsibility now. See, my responsibility is to walk uprightly. My responsibility is to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring unto him. And when I do that, then God will take care of everything that I need. And every good thing, anything that is good for me, and again, goes back to what we were talking about, good for my eternal soul, see? Not just good for me just because I want it. It's good because it's not going to have an effect on where in my relationship with God. It's going to benefit that. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, in leading this verse, it says he's a sun and a shield. Wait a minute. He's a sun and a shield? So he enlightens, right? But then he also protects us. So he encompasses all of that in one. God has every, you know, I'm reminded of the song says, he's everything that I need, right? All I need is he's got it for me. Everything. He's my son and my shield, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The writer said, let it be our care to walk uprightly, and then let us trust God to give everything that is good for us. Always walk in the light of God and never throw thyself out of his protection. A sun to supply us with all good and a shield to shelter us from evil. Again, it goes back to that no good thing he's going to withhold. This is a promise that he has given us. So when we come to God, Lord, it almost kind of changes maybe a little bit how we present our requests before the Lord, doesn't it? Lord, if this is good for me, Lord, then I want to have it. But Lord, if I'm desiring something that is not good for me, if I'm desiring something that's going to be a detriment to my soul, I don't even want it, Lord. Just take the desire for it away. God can do that for us. Again, his ultimate concern is for our eternal soul and what good it has for us. There's one other verse as it relates to thinking about God supplying our every need. It's in Psalm 37 and 25.
Young.
This is David writing. He said, I've been young.
And now am old.
Now I'm old.
Yet have I not seen the righteous.
Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken.
Nor his seed begging bread.
Nor his seed begging bread. This is another promise here. You know, he said, I've looked over the period of time of my life and all those that I have seen. I was a young man, and now I'm an old man. And as I've seen many folks, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I recognize something in that verse. It's a responsibility that I have. What? I need to be righteous, right? If I want the benefits of this promise, then I have to maintain my integrity with God. Yes, Lord, if as long as I live in a way that's pleasing and honoring to you, then I'll find that I won't be forsaken. I won't be left alone, and I'll never be begging for bread, because God will supply everything that I need. And he will not hold anything back from me as long as I walk uprightly. These are promises that God has given us. We can stand on them. He gave them to us. You know, sometimes when we go through it, we can be swayed by the circumstance, our circumstances. We can be swayed by our situations and maybe look at things and say, this just is too big. But is it too big for God? See, it don't matter what it looks like from our perspective. God is bigger than all of those things. See, there's a verse that talks about with man it is impossible, but not with God. It goes all the way back to where we started this one with Abraham. Yes. Remember the promise that God gave Abraham? Yes. And it was just this. No, this is not possible by nature. God is not limited by nature. He made nature. He can change nature. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We can stand on it. We can go to God and say, Lord, I'm endeavoring by your grace to live righteous and holy before you. Lord, in your word, you promise to supply my needs. I need something from you, Lord, and I'm asking you to supply it. It's a promise that he gave us, and we can come back to it and stand on it. And then we can be encouraged, because the songwriter said, not one promise has he broken. And guess what? He's not going to start with you. You're not going to be the first one where the promise in his word is not going to be fulfilled. Keep in mind, though, I still have to do my part now. See, we can't say, well, Lord, you haven't kept your promise. God can come back to us and say, what about what you're supposed to be doing? Are you doing what I require of you? Because then when you do that, then I can stand on the promise. I can't stand on the promise if I'm not doing my part. God will supply our every need. Talk a little bit about protection this morning. There's a verse of song that we sing. It's number 455. Talks about being in the hollow of his hand. But there's a second in that second verse. Oh, when the cares of life beset me, I'm going to be overcome with them. I'm just going to be, woe is me, the sky, like the, what's the, from the little chicken, the sky is falling down. No, I serve my God. I'm going to firm for Jesus stand, because not only has he promised to supply all of my needs, he's promised to protect me. Yes. He promised to shelter me in his arms. In the hollow of his hand. He gonna protect me in the hollow of his hand. Lord. Yes. This is the promise now. Yes. This is inspired. Again, when we read these songs, they're inspired by scripture. We're gonna talk about Isaiah 40 and 12 here shortly. But they're inspired. He's promised to protect me.
Yes.
You know, in order to receive that protection, I can be way over here and God be way over there. Huh? That's not how it works, is it?
No.
Huh? You want somebody, think about it like this. You know, I just thought about this example. You ever had somebody was having some kind of conversation with somebody and they standing behind somebody and saying all kind of things to somebody else and they standing behind somebody else. Like, so in other words, they have to go through. Versus, you know, if they get away out in front of them, then they wide open, right?
Yeah.
We got to get close to him now, right?
Yes.
We want his protection.
Yes.
We got to be close to him.
Yes.
Isaiah 40:12.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?
He measured the waters in the hollow of his hand.
And meted out heaven with the span.
And meted out heaven with the span.
And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure.
And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure.
And weighed the mountains in scales.
Weighed the mountains in scales.
And the hills in a balance.
And the hills in a balance. Do we really comprehend what that scripture says? We're going to endeavor to break it down a little bit this morning, but can you read that one more time?
Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?
He measured the waters in the hollow of his hand.
And meted out heaven with the span.
Meted out heaven with the span.
And comprehended the dust of the
comprehended
earth.
Comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure.
And weighed the mountains in scales.
Weighed the mountains in scales
and the hills in a balance.
And the hills in a balance. The quick summary of this is his power is unlimited.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's it. You want to summarize this verse? His power is unlimited.
Yes.
Now let's endeavor to break it down a little bit. The great God of heaven meets the heavens with a span. To him, they are but a handbreadth. So you want to relate that to us? Hold up your hand. Okay? The longest span that you have in your hand is from your thumb to your longest finger, which is your middle finger. That's just, this is your longest span right there. So you want to equate what Almighty God done?
Yes.
He meted the heavens, the vastness of the heavens. You know, all we can, you know, science and all the things that, mankind, God has blessed mankind to be able to understand and planets and all these things. Has mankind found heaven yet? And we talk about how many millions of miles and light years something is from this. Think about the study of whatever, the study of the planets, whatever it is. Somebody could probably tell me how far apart the two furthest planets is. So many millions of light years, whatever it is, Almighty God meted the heavens, which is beyond our understanding as human beings.
That's right.
From here to here. This is what the scripture is saying.
Yes.
All the waters in the world, he can measure in the hollow of his hand.
Yes. Yes.
This is the one that's providing my protection.
Yes. Yes.
How much water can you hold in your hand? You know, even if we use our hand to try to get a little bit of water, I about guarantee you one little hand scoop is not going to satisfy your thirst. Look around. Maybe next time you're in a plane flying over water and you just see water as far as you can see.
Yes.
I'm reminded a few years ago, and my wife and I went to Hawaii. You're flying over water for about 3-4 hours, and that's all you can see. And that's not even whatever percentage the Pacific Ocean is of all the water that's in the... He meets the water in his hand.
Yes, yes.
In the hollow of his hand. All right, now. And so in other words, it doesn't escape out. See, the water that you can put in there that doesn't escape.
Praise God.
All of the water in the world in the hollow of his hand.
Yes.
All the earth is to him but as a few grains of dust. When we talk about that, scripture talks about comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. As I was reading about that, it's like the little grains that you could fit between your thumb and some fingers. That's what the earth is to God. He promised to protect me in the hollow of his hand. You know what that tells me? In order for something to get to me, if I stay close enough to him, it's got to go through him first. So if it got through him, and then it's going to get to me now, not only is he protecting me, so imagine what it was like before it got to you, because it was filtered through him. And even when we get to that point, he going to supply me everything that I need. The heavens were stretched out as exactly as that which is spanned. Earth and waters were put together in just proportions. You've ever been to the beach? You see the water come in, and then you see it go out. Then you see it come in, and then you see it go out. Who's keeping it there? You know, sometimes we have these storms and natural disasters that happen, and God pulls his hand back, and that water comes up and just sweeps things away. The only reason why it doesn't happen all the time is because God.
Right.
And it's like a perfect balance that we're not just over flooded. God promised he wouldn't do that again, didn't he? He promised that in Genesis. He wasn't going, so he just holds it back. Just how he made everything. It's measured. The mountains made of such a weight as to serve for a ballast or a balance to the whole earth. Just how the mountains were made.
Yes.
It provides the balance to the earth that allows it to rotate, and it's tilted perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gon' that happened by chance. There was a bang and all this just happened and it's still in motion. How ridiculous does that sound? You gonna believe that? And it doesn't matter, then there's a God that put all this into place. And he promised to supply my needs. He promised to protect me. And he requires that I just live right and holy before him.
Yes.
Sign me up. Lord, you gonna do all that for me? Lord, if I need to stand up in front of the church and do whatever I need to do, Lord, help me, Lord. Because you gonna give me what I need to do it anyways. I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. I'll say what you want me today. I'll do what you want me to do. You've done so much for me. You're doing so much for me.
Yes.
Think about this thought a little bit more about something going through God in order to get to us. Psalm 17, 8 and 9.
Keep me as the apple of thy eye.
Keep me as the apple of thy eye.
Hide me under the shadow of thy wings.
Hide me under the shadow of thy wings.
From the wicked that oppress me.
From the wicked that oppress me.
From my deadly enemies.
From my deadly enemies.
Who compass me about.
Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Again, in order to get to me, it has to come through God first. Think about this thought in a natural sense. Just think about even just our natural eye and all the protections that are put in place to protect our eye. First of all, we don't have eyes that just sit out on our heads, do we? Like some of the animals, right? Because if it just sat out, there would be no kind of protection, right? Well, our eyes are behind, they're entrenched deeply into the skull, right? So we have a forehead that protects them. But it doesn't just stop there. Says, the writer said, forehead and cheekbones that form just the structure of our face. And then we have eyebrows, and we have eyelids, and we have eyelashes. And then even with all of that, God gave us a pair of hands, didn't he? What's the first thing you do when something comes flying at your eye? Do you just, No, you stick your hands up, right? God made it like that. If God made us like that, and equipped us with all of those things to protect our eyes, how much do you think he going to protect us?
Yes.
His creation that he bled and died for. You ever sweated a little bit? All of us sweated a little bit. You notice the progression? Well, let me say this. You ever felt it when that sweat gets in your eyes? It feels good, huh? No, it doesn't. It burns, doesn't it? But think about all that the sweat has to go through to get to your eyes. Right? Generally, it starts in your head, kind of flows down your forehead. So if you feel it on your forehead, what do? You just let it keep dripping? No, you wipe it, right? If it got past your forehead, then it has to get through your eyebrows, and then it has to get through your eyelids and through your lashes before it all gets all the way in your eye. Again, the intricacy in which God created us, our protector. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Lord, keep me there. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked that oppress me and from the deadly enemies who compass me about. Their scriptures talks about the devil like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So if I'm not under God's protection, what can I expect? Who else is going to protect me? Is the devil going to protect me from himself? No. He's going to be salivating at the mouth and just like, oh, another prey. They've decided that they don't need God's protection. And he just starts licking his chops, so to speak, because we all exposed. You want protection? Get close to God. This is a promise. He promised to protect us, but we got to stay close to him if we want that protection. Keep me safe, Lord, hide me close, that my enemies can't find me. Deliver my soul, not only from natural, from my mortal life from death, but my mortal spirit from sin. Amen. If I keep God's law as the apple of my eye, then I can expect that God will keep me as the apple of his eye. Again, talk about my responsibility, see? You know, I need to hold his law close to my heart. Keep it as the apple of my eye if I want God's protection over me all the time. Hide me.
Talks about hide me. That third verse says, keep me as the apple of thy eye from the awful blight of sinful things. Firmly on thy promise, I rely. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. Keep me from sin. Help me, Lord, to rely on your promise and hide me. So that protection, when you think about it, when we stay close to God, is twofold. There's a keeping and a hiding. See? Think about how that works. If I drift away from God, can he keep me? If I keep him close, then he can not only keep me, but he can also protect me.
Yes.
He can shield me, hide me. But it's my responsibility to stay close.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think about in a natural sense, maybe mothers and fathers with young children, they get a little bit too far away. What do? Pull them back in. Come on back. Maybe some of us as children, maybe we knew our parents was going to do that, so we took off running. Don't do that to God. When he's trying to pull you back in, don't run. He might come after you, but he might not. You can't take that chance. My encouragement to us this morning, do all that we can to remain close to God.
Yes.
To remain with God's stamp of approval on our lives. So that he can supply us with everything that we need and shelter and protect us in the shadow of his wings. If you've been missing out on some of these promises, make a change. Get a hold to God so that you can reap the benefits of this. These promises that God have given us, they're for all of us. None of us are exempt from them. We just have to meet the requirements. Are you willing to let these kind of promises go away? They're too valuable. Let's be encouraged
God's promises, they're so wonderful, aren't they? It's what would we do without them? Where would we be without them? I'm so thankful for the promises that he has given us. By the help of the Lord, I believe the next one will be part 5, which will be the end. We're going to talk about the promises that he's given to us as our healer, amen, our comforter, as one that will never leave us, amen, and that he is no respecter of persons. Yes. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. I desire your prayers that I would live worthy of all the promises that God has given.